Well, well, well. That's right. It's Drop the Subject with Ali and Dr. James Simmons. Of course, lots to cover on today's show. There was a debate last night, a presidential one. There were moderators. There were timekeepers. There were words being spoken. There were words being misspoken. But let's start off the show talking about the thing that I really want to grill you on, James, which is You auditioned for a show that I have been desperate to be on for quite some time. And I'm not talking about the L word. I am talking, of course, about auditioning to be the next contestant on The Price is Right. And you had an actual formal audition, which is not usually the case. I have been one of those suckers in line to go to a taping of The Price is Right, and you don't get one of those one-on-one auditions. They're like, hi, what's your name? And you're like, my name's Allie! And they're like, what are you excited about? I'm like, Plinko! And then they're like, thank you, go ahead. And then you just sit there and hope that you get
called. That how you said it, too? Like, and you're like, and that's, Plinko sounds like the 63-year-old, like, housewife in Wisconsin. Plinko!
Yeah. Ah! Well, that made her own shirt and her cat's on it. You know, it's like a picture of her cat. This has a family history for me as well, but what was your experience like? Because you actually got pulled out of a very specific crowd to audition for this.
I did. So this is really kind of odd and exciting. Sometimes good things happen when you just put yourself out there. I will say that because I simultaneously every single day reevaluate my social media career. But one of the good things that happens with this is that someone reached out to me on LinkedIn, of all places. And we had kind of chatted before. I think this person is a recruiter, like a healthcare recruiter. And I don't check my LinkedIn emails like a lot, but
no, I always get them and I'm like, okay, there's some sucker who wants me to be an admin at some tech company.
Right.
And they're
right.
Like, I love your profile. Thing. I'm like, you didn't even read it. I don't know how to do admin things.
I know you're a bot. Like, you know, that's just like the bot emails or whatever. So, but this person I'd actually had like a conversation with. So I got a random email and I checked it and I was like, it said, hey, I know this is random, but, you know, I love everything that you do. I know what you do on social media because I don't really put a lot of my like social media stuff on LinkedIn. She's like, I know what you do on social media. I think you're really great. I love your personality. I think you would be fun for a game show. My cousin is the casting director for one of the casting agencies that casts The Price is Right. Would you be interested? And I was like,
I don't care if this is a bot. Yes.
Yeah, because like, who doesn't want to do The Price is Right?
This is the best case scenario for any this is the biggest LinkedIn success story I've ever heard. Because when somebody, even if someone was to reach out to you and it was real, and then they were giving you a real opportunity to make some money or to win something, and then they say it's for a game show, it's usually a game show that nobody cares about or that's in its trial period, or they're like, you're a great first responder. We're going to put you all on an island where you're at each other's throats. And the first person who, you know, like,
right.
Yeah, if you survive and we're going to make you all naked and covered in tarantulas. Are you up for it? So this is the best case scenario. And you went through with the audition.
Yeah. Well, so back and forth. And then the next thing you know, this woman texts me and then whatever. And then I audition like, you know, FaceTime, like Zoom or whatever, do an audition. And it was a little bit weird because she was like, I only need 5 minutes. Are you at work? And I was like, I am. And she's like, that's okay. I only need 5 minutes. You just have to get to a place where you can be like sort of loud and show me all your personality. And I'm like, I'm in a hospital. Like, where am I supposed to go? So I like went outside in the courtyard of the hospital and I'm like screaming and jumping and like being all of the excitedness or whatever. And she's like, oh my God, you're great. Like, she's like, you are hysterical. My cousin was right, blah, blah, blah. Apparently they're doing some sort of special episode for first responders or like, I'm sorry, essential workers.
So you would be, you know the prizes are going to be like doubled and tripled because they haven't had their tapings. So they just have all these Kias sitting in a garage somewhere.
You win 38 Kias.
Needed 17 deep freezes. 5,000 Kias.
You get to go to Switzerland 14 times. Like, you lost Plinko? Don't
Doesn't
worry,
matter.
You get to do it
Everyone
again.
Gets 50 wheel spins. That would be fantastic. Well, let us know how it goes. And,
Thank you, I will.
Of course, if you do get in, we must watch and we must cheer James on. When we come back, debates? After this 2-minute break.
Drop the Subject The new Channel Q.
This is Drop the Subject on the new Channel Q. Dr. James Simmons, Ali Johnson, and this is Drop the President.
Drop the President.
Yes, that's right. Last night was the first of four presidential and vice presidential debates that happened in America. It was debate night in America. This one was moderated by Fox News host Chris Wallace from it was incumbent Donald J. Trump,
James.
Republican, against Democrat Joe Biden, who really...
James?
I'm sorry. Ali, you have a question. Ali Johnson.
Yes. I was just wondering, my question is that I know we have a lot to cover at the first debate. Very, very important. Someone would argue
the
most
hangs. Yep.
Important election of all time.
Yeah.
And instead of focusing on the many things that the current president said last night that will infuriate us,
because it was a doozy,
I would vote that we completely change gears and just talk about how Eric Trump accidentally came out of the closet.
Also, one of the most critical issues that is going to impact America's democracy going forward.
I vote for switch seas.
Okay, let's do switch seas. How about
closet watch? Yes, that's right. Eric Trump, the junior who, you know, has put his foot in his mouth on many occasions, but you know, there was definitely a lot of people questioning what was going in his mouth after he made a statement on Fox News.
I was wondering if you were going to go there.
Oh, you know I would.
Good. I'm proud. Okay. Carry on.
And he said something about, I guess, a Trump supporter, a lesbian Trump supporter. That was that they were talking about her on Fox News. And then he said this. Let's just take a listen to the clip, because you can hear the exact moment that Eric Trump comes out of the closet.
In the New York Times, and it talks, it's this, her name is Chris. She doesn't want to give her last name because she says that her colleagues at work, it wouldn't go well with them. She lives in Manhattan. She's in her 50s.
Secret Trump voter.
That's right. She is, she's gay. So are you counting on this person, on the secret voter?
Ainsley, that person's there. I'm telling you, I see it every day. The LGBT community, they are incredible. And you should see how they've come out in full force for my father every single day. I'm part of that community and we love the man. And thank you for protecting our neighborhoods and thank you for protecting our cities.
We love the man.
I didn't realize he followed up with, we love the man.
And we love the man. I mean, the Twitter had a field day with this, and they were like, some people were like, some things I can't repeat on air, but they were like, how much does Eric Trump love his father if he's a part of the LGBT? Like, what does that mean? What are you trying to get at here? What part of the LGBTQ community is coming out in droves for this man? How are you a part of that community? And how is Donald Trump exactly protecting our communities that you're a part of? Also, something about visuals of Eric Trump's legs and I'm not gonna
go there. And some people were saying, hey, you know, it'd be nice if you let your wife know before you come out on national television, and he did eventually clarify and said that many of our close friends are part of the LGBT community, which was the intent of my statement. But if there are many of your friends who are part of the LGBTQ community, you would know that saying I am part of the LGBTQ community means that you're a part of the community.
I mean, that's just like English language, right? That's just sort of like fourth grade English.
Yeah, like I'm part of a fantasy football team.
That makes you part of a fantasy football team when you say it. So what
Freudian slip. And if he is being, if this was a Freudian slip and he really is a member, can we reject him?
I think more importantly, where does he fit? So are we going like otter bear?
I think he's just outside of the umbrella.
Are we like a twink here? Are we like an elder twink? Or is he like going into daddy territory now? Or are we like daddy otter bear penguin?
I don't know. But whichever one he is, he's the one who's getting slapped on the ass with a paddle. It's that one.
No, he might like it too.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject with Ali and James. It's time for, because it is Wednesday, it is the GAYMA. That's right. It's a chance for us to get to know each other a little bit. Of course, we are all under the same LGBTQ plus umbrella, but I'm a gay lady. James is a queer man, and it's important for us to learn about each other's way of life. This week we're going to do a listener submitted question, if that's all right with you, James.
Oh, please. I would love that.
because I think this is interesting and it might be a little uncomfortable, but we will learn a little bit about one another in the process. The question is, which canceled celebrity would you, I don't want to use their phrase because it's not radio friendly, would you make sweet love to if they hadn't been canceled?
Make sweet love to, oh, this is such an interesting, it also, of course, the first place I go is, what is the actual definition of canceled? Because the one of the first people that jumps to mind right away is Dennis Quaid.
Oh.
He is like full on daddy stature, right? Like he's definitely rocking that thing. And I think he's a very good actor and he's apparently a very nice guy, but he also is in that dumb Trump campaign, like anti-coronavirus video or whatever. Like he's one of those,
right,
like they can't tell us to wear our masks, but not really. In the same way that CeCe Winans like last week was in the video and CeCe had to put out a video and be like, they just asked me to sing a song. I just sang a song for these people. I didn't realize it was this whole thing. I wear a mask. Like I do believe that coronavirus is a thing. Like I think we should all keep staying away from each other. Dennis Quaid's been a little bit quieter about it, but so I'm not sure he's like been totally canceled, but at least in my mind, some guy who would lend his likeness and his career to anything Donald Trump is going to get canceled by me and thus cancels every movie that he's a romantic lead in or where he saves the world because it's ending because of a big, you know,
well, yeah, I mean, Dennis Quaid is a good one because he's someone who's an attractive guy. He seems like you, when you watch his movies, there are some movies or some actors rather that you can watch in a movie and you know that they're a-holes. Like Russell Crowe has always been like that for me. When I watch a movie with him in it, I'm like, this guy sucks. And I know he sucks.
Yep. Yep.
And I don't need to meet him or know more about him. That is a blanket statement, and I know it's true.
Right.
But Dennis Quaid is the guy where he seems kind of likable. And so when you learn someone like that, hey, you didn't know if you develop an attraction for this guy, and then later on he turns out to be a POS, that doesn't turn off your attraction to him necessarily. Sometimes it does. I mean,
and some people it gets more. Like some people, they're attracted to that, right? They're like, oh, I want to like... angry
hate, makes hate, exactly hate,
yeah
that was whatever. How it was phrased in the question.
Yeah. Which one of these would you hate F? So who would it be for you, Allie?
Well, see, there are some very hot and canceled people. Leah Michele is one of those. She's extremely attractive.
Oh man. So but, does her beeness make you hot for her?
No. If she was drunk at a party and was really hitting on me hard, I don't know what would happen.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. But also Lana Del Rey has been canceled several times. She's very attractive, but she's annoying as a person. So
I'm not trying to steal anything from black people.
Question for the culture. But I think the one that I'm really going to go with here is someone who's been consistently cray. And someone who's been consistently hot, and somebody who I thought was hot when the movie Clueless came out many years ago, I'm going with Stacey Dash.
I knew you were going to go there. Oh, because she's right. She's stunning, like visually.
I mean, those eyes.
Not that's her value, but we're talking about people being hot. So like she has more value than that. But also, yeah, you're like, Stacey Dash jumped off. I'll point to the right. She jumped off the right end of the boat years ago.
Into the deep end of the right,
Yeah, she has not come back. Like sometimes people do that and then they're like, sorry guys, got caught up in a cult, like, or you know, a little bit too much like cocaine or whatever. My bad, I'm back. Nope, Stacey Dash is like doubling down on it.
Yes. And that makes us that I probably would not date her seriously because we'd have too many differences. Plus, I'm married. But she is the one that I would go with. So thank you for the game. A question. Very
question.
Odd that nobody picked Rosie O'Donnell or John Voight. Oh, wait, I am not
surprised. I was going to go with Ellen.
Were you really?
I mean, Ellen's cute. Ellen's cute.
All right, we both pick Ellen. That's the end. We'll be right back.
The end. Goodbye.
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject on the new Channel Q. Allie Johnson, James Simmons. And it is time for your weekly wake-up call because you know how we do. And who we do it with is Dr. John Paul. educator, one of the smartest human beings on earth. And we are so lucky that Dr. John Paul joins us every week. This is our attempt to continue the conversation about race. And sometimes these conversations are really uncomfortable, but we definitely feel like we have this platform. We need to continue to educate ourselves, our listeners, each other, whatever. And I'm going to start this one off with a story that happened to me. And I have to speak in some vague isms. Because of this, because I'm not trying to put this person on blast, but I happened to use the word ghetto in describing something that was, in my mind, ghetto. ghetto in the very classic sense of like how I grew up in the 80s and 90s. If someone was acting ratchet, if someone was acting incorrect, if they were bringing you some BS, you were like, don't come at me with that ghetto whatever. And it was in that context.
Right.
This white woman, roughly my age, was like, that's not a term that we use anymore.
Oh, oh, she said we?
We.
And I, and so
we is the key word. And it, in the moment, I was like, you know what? You're right. People, I'm from the hood. We should stop an association. And ghetto in most people's minds, I think, brings up black ghetto, right? But there are lots of types of ghetto. But so just for the sake of our conversation, black ghetto. So we should stop an association between bad and black ghetto. So in the moment, I was like, all right, okay, okay, you're right, you're right. You know what? Let me work on my words. Like I literally wrote a dissertation, like I talk for a living, like whatever. I need to work on my words.
Right.
Well, then it got me all up in my feelings. And I was like, why is this? I can call something ghetto if I want to, especially because I'm from there. Like, I don't know. Then I got to two minds about it and I still don't exactly know where I land. Dr. John, how you feel about the word ghetto?
Well, so this is the thing for me. I think we have to be mindful that, yes, words mean things. And I think it's important to understand that there have been a lot of words that have been given really negative connotations and a lot of negative kind of, I think the word stigma might be right? There's different stigmas and different things that are connected to certain words. But we have to also think about it from this idea too, that there is a certain type of vernacular that Black people carry that is not a universal, you know, language. It's not a universal terminology, right? So the first thing that I think you're probably, I would say the dissonance that you're probably feeling is first this idea that you're being policed in the sense of how you utilize your words when you're talking about something that's related to your Blackness. And I think that that's something that a lot of people remiss, specifically when we start getting into conversations around like even, and I'm going to go there, right? With the N-word, right? There I've had folks say, you know, that's very unprofessional of you, Dr. Higgins, to use that word. And I have to turn around and I have to say, well, first of all, what is professionalism when we really think about it? But also too, the N-word means a lot of different things for a lot of different Black people. And where I'm from, as someone who is from Compton, as someone who is from San Bernardino, as someone who lived in between the two, that word carries something for me. So when I use the word ghetto, for me, I'm talking about ghetto in the sense of a Black colloquialism that I think that some people don't fully understand. Ghetto in the sense of whiteness is not the same terminology as ghetto in the sense of what it means for Black people. And so I think we really need to have a real conversation around that, around this idea that certain words mean certain things to certain races or even certain groups, right? I even think about the F word for queer folks. I think about the gay word for, you know, for queer folks. Like these words mean different things for different groups. And I think when you are an outsider to that group, you don't really have a say and how said group gets to use said word.
Well, there's obviously a lot more to cover here. So we will take a break. We're going to take a 2-minute break. It's our 2-minute promise here on Drop the Subject. We're talking to Dr. John about, I guess, terms that are considered not politically correct and when
ghetto.
Like ghetto and many, many more. So stay tuned because I've got a question for Dr. John right after this.
Drop the Subject. The new Channel Q.
Welcome back to Drop the Subject with Allie and Dr. James Simmons. We're talking to another lovely doctor, Dr. John Paul, who we talk to every week. It's our weekly wake-up call. It's our effort to continue conversations about racial injustice in this country. We're talking about terminology right now. We're talking about specifically people of color using, quote, non-politically correct terms. And one of the examples that James brought up was his use of the word ghetto. Dr. John Paul, I think it's interesting that you bring up the word policing, which you brought up in the last segment. You know, Black people are constantly feeling policed all the time. Does it feel a little bit freeing to say, hey, you know what, when it comes to my language and how I talk to fellow Black people, I can say whatever I want because it's one of the few free spaces that I feel I can take.
And that is the, that is that on that. When you, when right. you put a little in my, just saying my Black mind, that is the sugar on my rice. I will say this. I think that is the one thing that I genuinely really have to think about a lot, or I challenge people to think about a lot. You know, the way I talk when I have to be in the classroom, the way that I talk when I'm on a very important call with a network, the way I have to carry myself when I'm conducting business, right? I have to constantly check and think about the language that I'm using. So when I'm with my, and I like to say it this way, when I'm with my Black family, right, whether they are really my family or not, you know, I've even had Black family members say, oh, I don't like the N-word. And I've had to tell them, well, I do, you know, and I, when I'm in Black spaces, I do not want my language. I do not want the things that I say and how I say them being not only policed, but ultimately too, I don't want to have to restrict myself. And I think that's the big part of it, right? As Black people, we are constantly having to check our identity. We're having to check the way that we show up. We're having to check the way that we present ourselves when we get around certain individuals or when we're talking about certain things, especially if, you know, so for instance, like I said, as someone who grew up off of, you know, 128th and Martin Luther King in LA as a kid, you know, hood, ghetto, all of these different terminologies, they explain a big part of the way that I grew up. And so for someone to come around and say, you shouldn't say that, or you shouldn't use that word, it makes me feel uncomfortable. Sometimes I have to turn around and say, that uncomfortability that you have, that's for you to work out. That has nothing to do with me. And you have to go sit with why you're not comfortable with the word ghetto. Because what I have to ask is, if a person says, well, I don't like that word, okay, well, what definition of that word do you have? And what does it mean to you? And ultimately, why does it make you feel uncomfortable? And I think that that's the thing. We don't internalize our own relationship to certain words, certain conversation pieces. And I think that that's what we need to start doing a little bit more of.
You know, you mentioned internalizing what these words mean to you, as well as, like, it also ties to another conversation we were sort of having right before this interview with Dr. John about, those of you who are watching Lovecraft Country, there's this incredible episode. I won't tell all of it because if you haven't caught up, but this episode, I left the episode thinking, wow, for my whole life, I've felt like had to shrink. Yeah. I've had to put myself in a particular box to keep people happy. And even an extension of that, especially growing up in Nebraska, to keep white people happy.
Yep.
And then I thought about the conversation that I knew we were going to have and the story I was going to share about using the word ghetto. And I was like, that's another in a long line of things that I had a white person policing my use of the word. And my instantaneous reaction was to, like, back off and make her happy so that she was uncomfortable.
So then, quick question, what if that person had been a person of color? Would you have would your reaction be different?
That's very interesting. I'm not sure I would have had a different reaction, because I think for such a long time, my gut reaction is to just, you're right. Let's not use words that make people uncomfortable. Or, you know, this person is telling me that if I use the word ghetto, it continues to make Black folks look bad, and she's white, I better not use that word. And if then a Black person is saying, well, don't use that word, it makes us look bad, then maybe I'm like, okay, I better not use that word, because it's like every little thing we can do to, like, continue to elevate Black folks. But then I just realized, like, I'm all caught up in other people telling me what I can and can't do at the end of the day, which is the whole damn point, you know?
Yeah, I would say the one thing that I really want to just get in there, and I think it's so important, is also to Black people, you know, policing what other Black people say. That is an element of respectability politics. We have talked about it several times on this show, this idea that we have to make, or when we say don't say that, or don't use those words, or don't talk that way, who are we, why are we saying it? And ultimately, who are we ultimately trying to appease by having that mindset as people of color? That is rooted in respectability politics. And so I always like to tell people when I'm speaking, when I'm working, when I do anything, I always like to let people know, I do not adhere to respectability politics. The way that I show up is the way that I show up. And if you do not like it, that means that I am not for you. And I think that that's what's important in these conversations, is that we really need to start interrogating, why am I uncomfortable with this? Why does this make me feel a certain way? And what is my relationship to the word? If it makes you uncomfortable, again, that is the work that we all need to be doing on our own.
Words mean different things to different people. And that's kind of the overlying point of this, but very interesting. And if you want to follow up on what Dr. John is doing at Dr. John Paul, you can do so. You can also go to their website, drjohnpaul.com. Dr. John Paul is an activist, an educator, and an incredible human being. And we thank you for your time as always.
Thank you for having me.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.
Drop the Subject presents News It or Lose It.
That's right. It is time for News It or Lose It. And you are going to do this and you are going to hear this from Allie Johnson and James Simmons. That's me. Allie is her. We have both two headlines. We will read these headlines. The other one will decide if we news it or lose it. You may or may not have heard this game before. Allie, I have my binger banger dinger clanger back today.
Oh, perfect.
Lovely.
I don't.
You don't, but you do have two headlines. What are they? Fire away.
All right, here's your first headline, James. One of the Friends' main cast was supposed to be gay.
Gay. That could have, like, helped to change the world. I kind of like that story. Let's news it.
All right, you're newsing it, which means you're losing the fact that bras are going extinct, which just makes me happy. Yay.
Bye-bye, brassiere.
Free the nipple.
Free the nipple. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Actress Jane Sibbett played a lesbian on Friends. The part turned her life upside down.
Wait, which one was that? Okay, fine. We'll just do a Friends-themed one. I'll news it.
You're going to news it. I just feel like hitting my binger, banger, dinger.
How do we both have Friends stories?
I know. How about that? And I don't even like... I was with Oprah. I'm like, Friends need some black friends. Like, I'm over this. And then they brought Aisha Tyler for like two seasons. And they're like, see, we did it. We brought a black person on. Whatever.
Well, and that show wasn't... Didn't they steal that idea from another show that was...
Multiple other shows that were like Living Single and like all these other shows that were... Yeah. Uh-huh. That were black shows. Anyway, the one that you lost, and we always say that we'll never speak of this again, but maybe we'll sneak this one in later in the week or something. Chicago's LGBTQ neighborhood, Boys Town, changes its nickname.
Oh, we talked about that. So they did end up changing
They did end up changing it. They're now, it is North Halsted Street, and that is also the region. North Halsted is a part of Lakeview in Chicago.
Me know how?
So now they're calling it North Halsted.
Huh. Okay. So, I would have thought they'd gone with Norhall.
Or, I don't know, something. Just the town. That would have been nice.
The town.
Anyway, I'll do mine here first because it's not probably as huge as yours is, but since we're doing a Friends themed one, they did have a long time, they had a lesbian storyline. This couple, and they had a baby, and one of the people who was in this couple's name is Jane Sibbett.
Oh, it's Ross's ex-wife.
Yes.
That's who it is.
Yes, uh-huh. You got it. Glad someone who watched the show knows. I mean, I kind of watched the show, but she was interviewed by a really popular blog and about how her character really helped to change people's minds and, you know, how did this impact her career? And she actually was like, it impacted my career a lot, but what ended up happening was she didn't realize she got so much vitriol from like America and that people like her father, members of her church, all these other people were like, how can you play a role like this? It's wrong. Wow.
And she's like barely in it too. They have like a scene every, like a couple of scenes every season.
Yeah. I think it went on for a few seasons, but it wasn't a lot of scenes. You're right.
Like she's always in the show because she's the mother of one of Ross's kids.
One of them. But I think this was really sweet of her though. She said, and I felt like it was really important for me to be super clear. Love is the most important of all the things that we could possibly do. Love is the most important way forward from anybody. So that was my biggest responsibility to make sure people knew that because I played this character.
Hmm.
That was really cool of her.
That is very cool. It's crazy that back then, if you play a gay character, you immediately either become an icon or an object of people's hate.
Right.
So, during the original idea of the show, when they were first developing the show Friends, one of the producers, I guess this is according to a Ranker article, so I don't know if the story's been checked out, but Ranker's pretty dependable, said that they originally intended the character Chandler to be gay. Could I be any more into D?
Very good. Friends people will get that joke.
They instead decided to completely switch gears because, shocker, they weren't sure people were going to accept Chandler for being gay. Shocker. They instead made him straight and then just made jokes about him being gay all the time.
Because that's funny. Right,
because that was a funny thing. And then I guess rumor has it Matthew Perry once vetoed a storyline involving Chandler going to a gay strip club because it made him feel uncomfortable.
Oh, so too bad. I love how all these actors get... No, you don't get to do that, boo. I mean, you get a little bit of say in this, but like just because that's the character, the story arc of the character. I can't with... Sometimes, whatever. I can't with these actors. Go to the gay strip bar. It won't make you gay, I promise you.
I know. Progress? How you doing?
Drop the subject. The new Channel Q.
Drop the subject. James and Allie. Allie and James. It has been a lovely Wednesday with you. We have done a lot on the show today, and it's been kind of fun. Also very, very interesting and insightful. I think our conversation with Dr. John Paul, though we didn't go like super mega ultra deep, was one of my favorite just because, I don't know, it was something I kind of was all up in my emotions about. So if you missed that, of course, we have a podcast. Please go and download that podcast at radio.com or subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Download, like, give us 5 stars. It really helps out. We had a Friends-themed News It or Lose It, which was kind of interesting. The hottest celebrity that's been canceled that you still might bone. A special... drop the president / closet watch combo. But if you missed it, you'll have to download the podcast and check it out. So we always love when you get at us too on social media at DTS Show, DTS Family.
Yes. Welcome to the community, Eric Trump. And just as a quick at Ask the NP before we go, do you think something's going on with Eric Trump?
like is he like, actually family?
No, like, is he on drugs?
Okay, this comes up a lot. So
Everyone's circulating videos of him and being like, his eyes are glazed over. Uh-huh. His eyes are half mass. Uh-huh. You know, the way that, I mean, Adderall is trending like every day on Twitter for either Donald Trump or Eric Trump. So what are your observations as a medical professional?
So unfortunately, I have made it a habit to spend as little time looking at Eric Trump as possible.
Yeah.
So I honestly have
not... In some ways, he's more annoying.
Yeah, in a lot of ways, he's more annoying. I don't know if maybe it's just because we haven't been flooded with as much Eric Trump. Like, you just can't get away from Donald, but you can get away from Eric. So I don't know, but I promise you that I will spend a little more time staring at Eric Trump and watching these glassed-over eyes to give you my official assessment. Generally, it's a where there's smoke, there's fire thing. When things like that come up medically... Generally, there's something going on. When people are like, I don't know about this person, there's something sick. I think
right.
If you
bring something up, then there's probably something
over
wrong.
Time. Yeah. If enough people do. So if enough people have been like, dude, I know cocaine and this dude's on cocaine, he's probably on cocaine. Just saying. I don't know for a fact. Don't sue me.
Yeah, Eric Trump, I know you're listening because you are just trying
to the podcast.
Yeah, you subscribe to the podcast because you want to know what your community is up to. I get
it. Yes.
So if we are wrong, go ahead and call us up or give us a message at DTS Show. Direct message us anytime. All right. Well, it's been fun. We will see you tomorrow for another thrilling episode. And again, if you missed anything, download that podcast. And to anybody who was given the love to me on social media on my anniversary, thank you so much. I posted yesterday about my official anniversary date, and it's nice to look back on 2 years ago and to be like, that was so fun. I want to do it again. Oh, wait, if I did do it again, it would be completely different. But all of you were commenting. It was very appreciated. I didn't even realize how many like friends and family would reach out and say happy anniversary. That was not something that I expected. And then I got like a random uncle emailed me and was like, happy anniversary. I was like, okay,
that's really sweet.
Like, who in your life are you close enough with that you would send an anniversary card or do something specific for somebody else's anniversary every day other than like a parent?
Well, I was going to say the only people's anniversary I really think about are because my dad and stepmom were together for a very long time before they could get married. And then once they finally got married, it was like not really a big like celebration or anything, but it was just kind of a big deal that they were able to get married. So I always sort of remember their anniversary. And then my mom and stepdad got married on Christmas Day. So that one's kind of easy.
Oh, that's easy.
Super easy to remember. So I always remember those. And I think it's really sweet because all four of my parents have kind of like interesting stories. So I remember that, but I don't think, I mean, and I have been in, I should have been Catherine McWhat's-her-name or whatever in that story, 27 dresses. I've been in 14 weddings.
You do seem like a person that people would want VIP at the wedding.
I bring the house down, Allie.
I'm sure you do. I am the same. I went to a wedding where I probably knew the people. I mean, I was on the bubble for sure, but they were rich, so I got in.
Me
and my friend ended up being the life of the party. We did like a dance party in the middle where everybody was cheering us on and playing music for us to dance to. I caught the bouquet. I was like the celebrity. Whoa. And then I went to their one-year-old's birthday party a couple of years later, and people were like, oh my God, you're the girl from the wedding. I was like, that's right.
Yes, I was. You can $10 a selfie.
Good wedding guest. $10 a selfie. All right, we'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Bye-bye.
Drop the Subject, the new Channel Q.